All right.
Red Five standing
all right,
by.
I think we're all in again. So here we go again, you guys, fellas. We'll start off again. This is me, DJ Hand, Henry Willie from the Grow Some On podcast. And you are...
This is Hines here from the FT podcast and also the Keto Island Boys podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Lawful Chewy back again from the Focus on the Road podcast.
And we are...
We are the Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Morphin Power podcast. Back at it again for another episode. We just said, fuck it. Let's do another one because...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How y'all doing, fellas?
Good, man. Doing all right. We got a lot to talk about. You know, what's going on. We just wanted to call this the update emergency podcast of what's going on with the fucking world right now. Right, fellas? So, yeah, tell them what's going on in the world today, this moment.
At this moment, all I know is... Yeah, when it comes to, like, the music industry, the concert industry, we're getting hit pretty hard right now. That's how it's affecting me directly.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the crowd shut down. I don't know. Last time we recorded, did they have that pass already?
I think it just passed on Thursday, yeah.
And we recorded last Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, two days ago.
Yeah. Was it 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Gary got a show canceled. That was for the end of March. Yeah.
So did they reschedule that?
Go ahead. Yeah, it's postponed.
Okay, that's good.
Because they do want to come back, but, you know, picking dates is kind of hard because nobody knows how long it's going to last, you know?
No, for sure. Well, that was interesting. You know, South by Southwest is the same every year. So that's like done, right? That's like, but like things like Coachella, they rescheduled for like October. But even now, it's like, will everything be okay by October? They're thinking about, I know the Olympics hasn't been canceled yet. I haven't seen that, but almost everything else. It's crazy how almost every sports venue, concert, festival has been canceled. So yeah, that's it's crazy, man. Did somebody just pop open a beer?
No.
You know, just heard a nice little
I was practicing my sound effects.
What are you sipping on?
He said a beer. It's a Diet Pepsi, man.
Nice.
Wife was doing me a favor, brought me Diet Pepsi. Yeah.
So, you know, the updates that from our last podcast, from a personal standpoint, you guys, I told you guys about my DJ gig, the wedding gig. And my boy, my coworker. So I gave him, because he prepaid, I gave him his money back. I said, yeah, bro. I said, I can't, man. I'm sorry. I said, you know what's going on. And he gave me that sad look. Like, fuck, he had more problems on his plate. You know what I'm saying? He looked at me. He's like, yeah, man, I've been like stressing over this whole thing. And I had to break it down to him. I was like, you know what you should do? Said, you should talk with your wife and you should postpone it, bro, because this is serious.
Yep.
And he was like, man, you're right, man. I'm glad you told me because I didn't know what to do. I said, you know what? Your family's going to understand. This is for your family. You don't want to get the elder, you know, the older folks sick because that's who's dying right now. And then, man, he was freaking out. And then I also told you guys the breaking news. Other than that, was that we found out one of our coworkers was positive, tested positive. You know?
Yeah, that's freaky, man.
Yeah, bro.
And you said he was on a cruise ship.
Yeah, so he's an older guy, old Palangi guy. He's like 54. I talk to him all the time. He comes in like an hour before I leave, go home. He comes in on his like the other ship. Right? So the whole week, he came back from his vacation. He had a two-week vacation, and he went to Florida. And he, his mom stays in Florida, but he went on a cruise in Florida because that's what, you know, them old folk do, right? So when he came back, our terminal manager really didn't do nothing. And, you know, he just let him work because nobody cares about the coronavirus, especially since last week. You know, Monday last week, nobody gave a shit, right? I didn't give a shit. But
it's amazing how the attitude has changed in for a lot of my Seattle friends.
Big time. Guys,
yeah, in the last big week. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. So he came to work that Thursday. I think that was Thursday. And I was on the dock talking with him. You know, I was talking to the guy, but I've been talking to him all week long, the whole entire job. So I go in the office. My other supervisor calls me and he's like, hey, you know, won't they won't fucking, you know, blah, 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 is out in the dock. And, you know, he just got a call and they opened up a letter, said his test from that cruise ship came back that he's positive with the coronavirus. I sent them home, you know, they just sent them home, whatever. So it hit home close, you know, for me. And I was just like, yeah, this is crazy because we just had that podcast the night before. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were just talking how important it is for everybody, you know, stressing the fact, especially here for me and Law, because this is, you know, ground zero, you know. So anyways, yeah, that's all we know for now. We're just waiting on the word to see what our job's gonna do, but it's real, man. It's real.
Yeah, and how quick it's changed, because the first time we got together, everybody's like, oh, fuck that shit. And that's the same week you're working with this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though we're in Seattle and we're at the epicenter, there's a lot of people that haven't come in direct contact with none of it. And a lot of people still don't care.
So I just read this article. I came off of Twitter of the Ground Zero patient. Did you guys read that article yet?
No. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna share that after this. So Ground Zero patient, he was a 35-year-old Asian guy, went to Wuhan, China for a family visit. He came back January 19th. He did all the protocols, everything, right? And then he went into his local medical place because he felt sick. They did everything. They tested him. They said, okay, let's get his blood samples, his work done, because he came from Wuhan, China. You know, because he told him everything.
Yep.
So
you're talking about this is the first guy that came back to Seattle. The first
guy, Ground Zero.
That came
guy.
Back to Seattle. Yeah.
Yep. The first guy, the number one, the first guy host that got, you know, that was detected or whatever. So they tell him, go home, quarantine yourself in the house until we call you back. They send that sample to Atlanta overnight. And the next day, they send it back. They give him the information to say, yeah, he's contagious. You know, he's positive. So they call the guy up. They say, you're positive. We got to quarantine you. They do everything that they're supposed to do, quarantine him and everything, right? So that's January 19th.
Yeah.
And they track down every single person they can that he was talking to, involved with. They missed one. They don't know how, but it's impossible to do, right? So then February comes, and I think it was like Kirkland or something. They were having problems at an old folk home. A lot of the old folks
were getting sick. Yeah, life care.
Yep, and that's where it started. So it's like, it's just, it didn't stop. And that's where Ground Zero patient came from in the United States. That's where it started. The 35-year-old guy, he healed up. He got better. So he had the virus, he healed up, but the people he got in contact with, it spread it to the elderly that got infected. And now it's everywhere. This is everywhere, bro. There's just, nobody's taking it seriously right now in the United States because of our government. They're not doing what they're supposed to do the right way. And we're seeing the effects in like Italy, you know, they're on quarantine. China did it already, but... Well, I was kind of sad, mad, and happy at the same time from reading that article, because he healed up, the 35-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, he contracted the virus. He was sick, had the flu symptoms, everything, but he got better. So, you know, the sad thing is, yeah, unfortunately, the elderly were, you know, got infected and they just couldn't fight it off, you know. So, you know, and I'm mad at the same time because there was nothing to do to stop it at a, you know, very important, you know, level. And that's where we're still at right now, man. Crazy, bro. But yeah, I'll send you guys, I'll shoot out that link. I'll just retweet it. Maybe I can find it right now, but I don't know. What's your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, there should have been more done. There should have been, like, you know, you can't miss that one. Like, we had the problem, too, is I've been listening to or reading stories about how having that patient and having, well, there's labs set up to do testing that couldn't, that aren't allowed to do official CDC or whatever tests. We get read some of those articles.
Yeah,
the testing is available. Yeah. But because, but what's funny is they found out that there was positive strains from people that never traveled anywhere. I think one of them was like a teenage boy that they had found. They found a positive. They found a positive case, but they were not allowed to tell anybody. They weren't allowed to tell the local authorities or anybody because they weren't an official CDC approved laboratory.
Bullshit, man. Just bullshit. But yeah, that's that article you sent us, right? Of the that podcast. I think it was the day.
There's so many articles out now that's like, man, shit.
It was like when you sent that over and I was like, what the fuck? You know, I was just like, wow. You know, I mean, just getting this information is just, it'll open your eyes more widely, you know?
It's still happening today. That's the problem.
My son is going.
Oh, it's happening with the people not being able to actually report what they're finding.
Just testing in general.
Like, you can't make it. Yeah.
Just all, like, there's laboratories all over the country that aren't allowed to test. They have the capabilities to test, but they're just either not allowed, one, or two, not allowed to come up with their information or whatnot. So it's like, and what's sad is that it sounds like people have been trying to hit up the King County Health Departments and stuff. Or I just saw a tweet that like KJR, the radio station, hit them up to see if there's anything that they could tell the public. And they just haven't been returning calls. They're like, we're not talking to media right now. It's like, dude, if there's a time to talk to the media, it would be right now.
Yeah.
It would, like, this is the most important time to talk to.
I've seen a ton of tweets of people that live here in Washington that have all the symptoms and they're complaining because
they won't let them get tested.
There's nobody that'll just take them and just, you know, diagnose them. And they're like, well, what are we supposed to do? And they're like,
well, no, this answer is what we did since we
wash your hands, stay home and wash your hands.
No, yeah. When, so what happened with my coworker and him testing positive, he ran off. He didn't come to work Friday. Everybody was freaking out at work. When I told, you know, my wife, she told her boss and they said, all right, you can't come in no more. You got to work from home. And so they were saying, you need to find out what's going on. Your husband needs to let you know. So she did her research, you know. And she did her research. She called up all the hospitals, the facilities, and they basically told her that she just needs to stay home. She can't get checked. The only time you will get...
Wait, who's this? I thought you were talking about the coworker that was a guy.
No, yeah. After he got sick,
got sent home, yeah.
So I told my wife that, hey, we're infected. The guy, he's working with us, so I'm pretty sure we're infected too. So she calls her work because she was... she was at work at the time. She told her job and they sent her home. So she's been working from home. And they said, they told her that she needs to get checked and get results and figure out what's going on.
Yep.
So she did. Yep. She called around to see what's the procedure. I mean, she did everything, you know. And she finally got some emails back, some phone calls back. And they basically told her if she's not having any symptoms, there's nothing they can do until she has symptoms. But even when that happens, she has to, like, stay home because they want you to quarantine yourself in the home for 14 days. And then after that, then you can set up an appointment, get masked up, because they don't want you going into an emergency place with the virus spreading it more. Yeah, so that's what they told her. So, so that's pretty much what we're dealing with here at Ground Zero in the U.S., you know what I'm saying, where there's no facilities like Italy, like China, like South Korea that have the so-called fever clinics attached to the hospitals. You know, there's nothing like that out here, nothing. I mean, it's pathetic, you know, that this is Ground Zero, but yet there's nothing here for anybody, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I heard Denver has a fever clinic drive-through. How the fuck Denver get one before us? You know? I was like, what the fuck? You know, or and even I think New Rochelle in New York is like they're having pop-up clinics too. And
yeah, they have drive-through.
Yeah,
sounds like yep.
And yeah, here it's like we have the richest fucking man in the world, Jeff Bezos, sitting in his tower. You know, right down the street at Amazon, and it's like, damn, homie, you can't pull some strings with your fucking your billions and billions, hundreds and billions. It's like, come on, bro.
You know, I pretty much what it sounds like, man, is since everywhere else isn't as bad as we are, they have a smaller amount to contain. So they're just like, let's all dump money to contain what little we have. Washington, Seattle's kind of fucked, so just let them all get infected and quarantine themselves until it dies away. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it'd be too much money to really focus on them when all we could do is quarantine them anyway. Let them quarantine themselves, but everywhere else, hey, let's set up these fucking clinics so we don't have to worry about
it. Well, that's the thing. We're not even quarantined, bro. We can drive down to Vegas and be like, what's up, Hines? Hey, dog. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not even quarantined. It's like the government's doing nothing. People can go anywhere. Yeah, they're doing nothing. I mean, we're still running around. You know what I'm saying? And we're the fucking number, the epicenter. If you look at the death, remember you sent us that corona.com link? Like, yeah.
So corona.health.
Literally all the deaths in the U.S. are right here, bro.
Yeah,
right here in Seattle, 75% Washington of the state area.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. 70, yep.
So it's like you're giving all these other fucking states, you know, these clinics. What the fuck? We're the ones out here dying. Our old people are dying out here. It's like you should you start out at the epicenter and then, like, you know, quarantine the epicenter and work your way out from there. But I don't know, man. Politics, man. They just, I don't know what's going on, bro. You know? What's the new thing they're talking about? Social distance? That's like the best we can do right now.
Yeah, it's social distancing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
everything's closed down. So. Yeah, I mean, you're one of the people. Law, do you know anybody that has it personally? Like, hey, and that's crazy. You know somebody that actually has it.
Bro,
know anybody.
Bro, I'm infected, bro. No, I'm going to tell you like right now. If that motherfucker was tested positive and got sent home, he's been with us the whole week touching shit. He leaves all the diseases, jacking his stuff right in the break room. It's a tiny ass break room where drivers go in. We have like our whole fucking and everybody lives everywhere. You name it, Spanaway, Puyallup, Tacoma, Lacey, Seattle, Kent. We all live everywhere, bro. We just spread it to everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
There's, God,
bro.
Yeah, you just gotta. You have it, man. I mean, just think about like when you're smoking a cigarette and you.
Yeah,
you know how when you blow the smoke out, just how far down the line that goes, and how many faces.
Not only, bro,
and
not
you
only
worked
the,
around
well,
this guy,
the air contact, but just touching shit. You know,
that's the one thing I heard that it does. Yeah. So it doesn't really travel in the air like that.
Yeah.
But it does travel on like hard surfaces. So anything that in the office that he touched and you guys touched it, that's easily one way to get it.
Bro, we share the same computer, bro.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! Well, yeah,
man.
High chance that you have it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And
for
And I was at Winko's today, fucking talking to everybody, shaking hands, and
dude, you're legit. Might have have it for sure.
Yeah, straight up. Straight up. I mean, I'm not.
I mean, yeah, you got to assume well, you do, man. Here's the crazy thing.
So after they sent him home, my other supervisor's like, man, I don't know, man. He ain't getting us back. And then, you know, we don't know if he's bullshitting or not. And I know he's not bullshitting. I talked to the guy. I know the type of person he is. And, you know, the only thing.
He said that.
Straight up. Straight up, bro.
And I'm like, he was on a cruise, though. Yeah. I mean, that's like.
Because my guy.
Flag number one.
The thing is, like, I've been doing research. I've been doing, educating myself on this for, you know, the whole week. My guy, everybody at work hasn't. So anytime, dude, they were freaking out and like, you know, like scrubbing down everything like the day of, like we found
too
out.
Late.
And I looked, bro, it was like pandemonium in the office. The girls were screaming. I straight up told everybody to stop. I said, stop. I said, he's been here since Monday. And you know, yeah. And they all looked at me like, you know, like I was, and they just fucking just said, fuck. And I said, there's nothing you can do.
Henry was like, I'm Rick Grimes. You motherfuckers listen to
pretty much, bro.
I mean, you gotta be like, look, this. You gotta stay away from old people, you gotta be careful. Like that's
yeah, man.
So that's what I was doing.
Everybody in the office, yeah.
And we had to go to work the next day. So, you know, I'm over there trying to calm people down and then, you know, I'm just explaining to them. Like, but after that day, after Thursday, oh, you best believe them fuckers ran home, were online trying to educate themselves and everything. Because the next day, everybody was fucking professionals.
Every single one.
And fucking, you know, super scientists, bro. They were just coming to me, one. Like, you know, telling me, oh, you know what? This is what you're supposed to do. And it's only old people. And I was just like, oh, Lord.
The shittiest part of all of this is the fact that you aren't allowed to get tested unless you have symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah, trust me. I mean, me and Tala, we was like, dude, she did everything. She's at home. Her job, bring her files, set her up with her, you know, the computer. I even told her because I was cracking up because she was like, oh, they're going to drop off my files. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You were in the office with all of them. They fucking all need to get tested. They're treating you like you're patient zero, but they're fucking stupid because all of them are infected. If you're infected, they're all infected. I was like, God damn it. What the fuck is wrong with people?
You know, there's one thing I also think about, man. Okay, right now, because we know what's happening, we see it happening.
Yeah.
We're pissed off. But whenever something comes along where they try to warn us, you know what I'm saying? Your average person, be honest, we never give a fuck. You know, if they say earthquake's coming, we don't give a fuck. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So, I mean, what's the real problem? Is the real problem us?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because we didn't give a shit in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, is it the government's fault or are they just following what the masses want, you know? Or are we following what the government puts in our hands? You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at it now, we're reacting because it's too late. But what could we have done in the first place? If they would have told me, hey, there's this virus that might come over here. I mean, they already said it.
I remember that.
Holy shit. You see this going on in China?
I remember.
I didn't give a fuck.
Because like I said, the day I touched down was like the news. Like, oh, Seattle has its first case. And that was September. So that dude got found on January 19th. And I think they didn't release the story till January 22nd.
Yeah, yeah.
Like January 21st or 22nd was when it came out in the news that the coronavirus hit U.S. soil. And that was, yeah. And so I think right at that moment, as a government – so this is the thing. That's the difference between some of these other governments, right? And then this brings up a bigger question about, like, communism and stuff. Like, the way China has been dealing with it, it sounds like they're done already. But it's China, and they could do a lot – as a government, they could do a lot of messed up things that – they can mess up a lot of – they have a lot of – their government has a lot more power and control over their people than our government. So I don't know. It's tough to say. I think number one is, yeah, the government's failed because there used to be a pandemic response team that was in the office.
Yeah.
That was part of our that was made for things just like this that got disbanded in 2018 because of the Trump administration. And what's so funny is he was asked about it. He was asked about it yesterday, I believe, in an interview. Somebody was like, what happened to that? You know, what about that pandemic response team that you got rid of? And then the first thing that comes out of his mouth was like, that's a nasty question. It's like, it's like, dude, how you, it's like, well, you got to answer it. Yeah. And then his next thing was like, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm like, what? This dude is fucking hilarious.
He was like, why are you bringing up old shit?
No, for real. Like, he really, and then he tried to like look around and was like, oh man, that's one of these guys back here. And he literally tried to look around and blame it on somebody else. He was like, I don't know, you know, administrations be doing things. It was like, dude, this is unreal. But like, it's just answer the simple question is that, dude, like, government, you're right. There's a lot of things that could have been done differently, but taking that first case seriously and really like following it up, because I feel like even in the beginning of February, the numbers were still like single digits, like, oh, there's 10 cases or 12 cases. And it hovered around that for a little bit. But the way these things go is like, if you don't have it down, like you said, in that article, man, they missed one person. And then that one like, you know, the amount of people that you can interact with in a day is, you know, you can meet 100 people in a day, especially like if there's a conference or something. My friend works for a tech company in Seattle, and they had a conference in the beginning of February. And now there's a guy that has been tested positive that was at that conference and then has also traveled. Yeah, there was at least 100 people there. Yeah. And so I don't know if she was at that conference, but she was telling me that's an email that her work sent out just today was like, oh, okay, there's somebody in, you know, that has it, that's in the company, and they've been traveling.
Well, it's
quite significant.
Well, let's count the people, or let's say the people that we know for sure got infected, right? You said the guy you used to work with, he was at a conference, he got infected?
No. This is my friend who works for the Seattle Tech.
Oh, you're just using it as an example.
Yeah.
He was at a conference, and somebody at the same conference.
Well, there you go. That's one, right?
Yeah. So somebody that was tested positive was at a conference in Seattle where there's 100 of corporate people in early February.
Oh, my God.
Early February. And so that's the information that they just sent this out.
Oh, today, Lord have mercy.
That just to kind of keep everybody like, hey, there might be some, you know, some of you might have this basically. So that's basically what it is. It's like, look, if you guys went to this conference in early February, there might be a high chance you have it. That's basically what they're trying to say. So,
so here's another question for you guys. So, with everything going on and, you know, these shows are getting canceled, you know, my second job relies on these shows, right? Like, I'm not even working this weekend. You know, Natasha Lee postponed. Yesterday's show was just, you know, people just didn't even come. Yeah. They're like, there's really nobody here. What do you think about the businesses out here that, like, they don't want to spread anything, but, you know, shutting down is not an option. Shutting down means their whole livelihood.
Well, we just,
Where's the line with that one? What do you think people should be doing?
I see what's going on in other countries, you know, that's already been there past, you know, where we're going to be at. But they are cutting like mortgages, I've heard, or, you know, some companies, I think, was it Italy? Said that there's a break and anybody has to pay their mortgages and shit like that. Or, like, some jobs are giving all their workers, like, money to help them, you know, buy food and shit like that. I mean, there's nothing you can really do. The politicians, they're saying that this is bad for the economy, for every single citizen out here that's going to have to struggle and need to get paid and all that. But it's either that or the safety and health of your, you know, of the country and stuff. So it's kind of like, it's a tough pill to swallow, but there's other countries that are actually helping their citizens, you know, that I've heard of, that I've read. And I was like, well, that's cool. I hope our fucking government, you know, put some brakes in to ease the financial part of all of the citizens that got to go through this. I'm pretty sure they're going to do something, you know, they better.
Yeah, because I was listening to, Coca Lights, their podcast on this whole epidemic. You know?
Yeah,
you guys listen to it?
Not yet. I haven't hit that one yet.
I just listened to it today. Rudy?
Yeah.
Rony. Yes, Rony. No, Rony. Rony.
Yeah, yeah, the Rony. Yeah. The Rony.
That Rona.
And he had a really good point about, damn, who was it? There was some kind of funding that they gave, but they gave it to, like, the big corporations, which gave us a spike in the stock market, but then crashed, or, you know, it's going to go right back down again. Mm-hmm. It just really did nothing for us.
Oh, yeah. The Fed, So, yeah. So they've been injecting.
So, like, if they would have used money like that to fund these smaller businesses that are going to go under, because big businesses aren't going to go under, you know? It's going to build back up, but these smaller people out here,
yeah,
you know, they go 1 month. With no business, they're fucked. Yep. There's no coming back from that.
No, so that's the thing. It's crazy how many, like, who has had to step up for certain people in events industry, like your industry. So that's why it's so funny to see. It's like for the majority of the NBA arenas that don't have games and stuff, it's crazy that, I'm sure there might be more than just NBA players, but for the majority, it's NBA players that are funding all of the workers for a lot of these arenas. Like Zion's did it for New Orleans arena. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, damn, you have these other people that are really stepping up, and it's like, dude, where is the people that actually own the, you know what I mean? Like, where are the actual owners and stuff? And the actual, like you're saying, Jeff Bezos and like the other one too is, I believe Whole Foods, cause he owns Whole Foods. I seen that one. Instead of, people that are running out of sick time, they're telling people to borrow coworkers or have their coworkers give them sick time to help them out. It's like, dude,
yeah, I know, right?
Just that, like, that's what's the most shameful thing. It's like, dude, you're Amazon.
Yeah.
Like, Amazon owns Whole Foods now. You guys are sitting on piles of cash, so that, like, you can't.
Yeah, they ain't gonna, like, give none, dude, of that up. But what's going on in Tacoma, man, is like Tacoma's always big on local businesses. And everybody out here is kind of like, you know, fuck that, man. You know, get out there and buy from your local businesses, which everybody's doing, and it's cool. Like even us, instead of going to like Safeway or whatever, you know, we went down to here to New Day and then the other Asian store on like 56. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool that everybody's trying to do that, but at the same time, we do need that what do you call that? That separation of people, like not too many people, you know, going around spreading
the
shit.
Yeah, that's why whenever there's an issue, right, you gotta just hit it from the root. So at the end of the day, what it comes down to, in my estimation, is testing. Because imagine you test a whole area. And you say, hey, everybody in this area is all good. You can have events here. You know what I mean?
As long
as people that, you know, but you have to find it. I mean, it sucks because there's no way to, like, police people coming in and out of an area. But if you do were to set up a safe space where, you know, everybody is free from the virus, then people would go there. But the fact that we can't do that right now is...
That's the problem.
My thing is all the money should be spent on testing, regardless of.
Yeah.
And then that will enhance everything, the economy and the stuff. Because, like, the fact that you bring up the stock market's interesting, too, because they, you know, they announced that injection of the money on Wednesday. And then the stock market did kind of bump up a little bit, but then it crashed. Then it really crashed on Thursday. And then on Friday, it actually rebounded. But so it crashed like 2,300 points on Thursday, but it came back up 2,000 points on Friday. So it's like, why did it go Like, there's no reason why the stock market should have been up on Friday for any reason, let alone 2,000 points. So that makes me think, like, dude, I don't know. It just seems impossible for me because you just said about how many people aren't working, and then the government's going to have to – it's sad, but the government's going to bail out a lot of these big companies that are – you know, and I feel like the small business are the ones that are really going to be burned.
Yeah, they all are. It makes no sense why even fund them. They got money to last. They're not going anywhere.
I mean, I think that's why I feel like businesses, you know, and it sucks because a lot of people work for a lot of businesses that are some of these bigger companies and stuff. But I've always been I believe, like, man, if your business can't survive, it shouldn't be around, basically. You know what I mean? It should fail. You should let some of these businesses fail. That's how it works, because a lot of these big businesses are in trouble because they're over leveraged. They've got so much debt, and they've just made poor choices as far as how to spend their money, because a lot of times, a lot of these companies, if you look back, a lot of these bigger companies, at the beginning of 2018, there was a large corporate tax cut that came out. And instead of giving money to the employees or even improving things in the company, they were just pumping this money back into the stock market. They were buying back their own stocks.
Yeah.
Buybacks were like in the billions. You know what I mean? It's like, and then I don't know. So that's why it's like, man, that's why I feel like this isn't fair if a company is going to be really greedy, spend all their extra cash on buybacks instead of giving it to their employees. And then now they're out of money because the stock market's crashed. All the money that they put into the stock market's gone away because these stock prices are now starting to go towards the floor. Now it's like, okay, now what are you going to do? Well, now they're going to go to the government and ask for a handout. And it's like, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. You should fail.
Yeah. Oh, why do they get the handout? Like,
lobbyists, man. At the end of the day, yeah. I mean, all these politicians are bought for, man, at the end of the day. It's just how it is, you know? And that's the sad part. And that's why a lot of people, I'm surprised he's not winning, but that's why a lot of people like Bernie, because he's always promising to, like, help the people out. But people don't like him because they say he's a socialist. Well, I mean, there's socialism going on right now. The government's giving the money to rich people. So Bernie is just saying, hey, instead of giving it to the rich, you might as well give it to the poor. And I mean, like, what's the difference? Instead, if you give it to people that really need it, I feel like you're really helping out the country more. Because I feel like step two, besides the test, is really sending money out to people, like, for real. Like, just send them straight up checks. Send them checks. Because right now, like you said.
So in layman's terms, what they want to do is they want to fund the people to get them back up. We're going to fund them right now. Yeah.
Are you talking about the $1.5 trillion injection into the stock market? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. If you save the big companies, because they're the ones that, what do you say, well, lobbyists
saying,
and all that kind
I'm of saying
shit?
A lot of, I'm saying, why do politicians vote for these big companies? And it's because, you know, there's a lot of these companies that pay these lobbyists to basically wine and dine these politicians to vote for them. So it's like, look, it's basically them giving politicians, they're buying the politicians straight up. That's basically what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why they give them the money to save them, because when they're back up, they're
just greed, man. That's all it is.
But they need to do that to, like, you know, to the small businesses that don't have law. Like, that's the people that really need it, because there's always been, you know, a lot of times it's people call it the trickle down economics, right? If you give all the rich people all the money, that money will trickle down into the economy, and it's like, not really. It doesn't, because the riches of the rich, what they do with their excess money is they reinvest it. they don't even go to regular places. They'll, you know what I mean? They don't even go to the, you'll never see a lot of these super rich folk be at Walmart, you know, buying, you know, buying clothes or food just like normal everyday Americans do. That's the problem, is the fact that the richest of the rich are reinvesting their money into whatever it is, stocks, bonds, real estate.
You know what's funny about the richest of the rich is that the worldwide percentage, in the worldwide percentage, the 1%, you know how they call the rich of the rich, like the 1%ers, in the worldwide, percentage, the 1% is anybody making $40,000 and above. So we're considered rich if you're making $40,000 and above in a worldwide perspective. Now that when I heard about that, it kind of opened my eyes to what us as U.S. citizens look as rich, when there's actually third world countries out there that are just like dead broke. Like, wish they look at us like we're millionaires. You know, there's other countries out there that just like wish they had everything that we have, like just me, you, law. It's crazy. Like, we're the 1% of the world. But in the, you know, major, you know, U.S. or countries or economies, the 1% is pretty much like who we think are the rich. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that a crazy fucking number, though?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of that before?
No, but I kind of believe it.
Mm-mm. No, that's crazy.
That makes sense on a world average. Yeah, but then you can also look at it as that means.
Hello? Am I dropping off?
No.
Oh.
You guys still there?
Yeah.
No, oh, but okay, I was saying that means 99% of the world is always going to be making under $40,000 in a year. You know what I mean? So that means there really ain't too many damn people making over 40.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny, if you look at it, it's believable because, man, if you watch that, like, did I talk about that American factory?
No.
Oh, sorry, I've come on so many different podcasts and talk about it a little.
No, go
so
ahead, talk about it. Talk
so
about
on
it.
Netflix, there's this documentary from the Obamas called American Factory. Just talks about how there's this factory in Michigan that used to make cars. They ended up, and people there were making like 50 to bucks an hour, like in that range.
Yeah.
30 to 50 bucks an hour. Just working at this factory. Factory closes down. Uh-huh. Everybody gets laid off. Gets bought by a Chinese factory. A Chinese glass company comes in. Now they're hiring people back in, but now they're hiring them back at $13 an hour.
Okay.
Which would be below that 40. And so anyways, they bring a lot of these workers back in. They're paying them much less. They also bring a team of these Chinese workers that are coming from China that is part of the company to also help train a lot of these Americans that are now working back at the dude, these Chinese workers are like machines. They're like next level efficient. It's crazy. They're like robots almost. And it's so crazy. Like everything that they go about their day, like they sing a song talks about how great China is. It's like,
oh Lord have mercy,
the brainwashing and the but it's crazy. But then the other thing is they never mention their pay, but the way they talk, it sounds like they must get like half of what these American, or maybe even like who knows, because of how their system is. But I mean, there's these people that were talking about like, yeah, I haven't seen my kids in 2 years. And
I bet.
Yeah. Isn't it? It was so out. That's another one that you need to add to the list if you're staying home.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, I will.
American Factory. It was great. It's so eye-opening.
That's the name of it? American Factory?
Yeah. It's just okay. So eye-opening.
Is it on Netflix?
Yep. On Netflix. Okay. It's a Netflix. Okay. Yeah. It's a Netflix doc. Yep. But that's what's so crazy is like how bad it is and how poor. Like now, like when you bring that up, damn, if you think about it, pretty much almost everybody in that documentary was making less than $40,000 easily, especially the Chinese people. You know what I mean? So it's real. But, you know, at the other, the other thing is too is in is man, we are lucky as a country that people that the world's reserve currency is the U.S. dollar.
Oh yeah.
So this is where things might get kind of crazy where we're at right now, because the reason why we are able to accrue so much debt is because the world believes we'll always pay them back.
Yeah.
You know, but what if one day they're just like, dude, these guys might not have it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, a lot of the world is using cryptocurrency right now. They know, you know, we don't like to talk about that here in the U.S. because that'll go against, you know, everything that the dollar stands for.
Hey, yeah. Well, yeah. Give me a quick breakdown in layman's terms how cryptocurrency works.
Oh, I could do that for you if you want, bro.
Yeah.
So, in layman's terms, I'm going to put it in my layman's terms, right?
Yeah.
It's the future of money, bro. That's what in the future, that's how we're going to be using money. It's not going to be papers. It's just all going to be cryptocurrency. So, another explanation is like back in the day, they used like, remember the coins? Everybody have coins in their bags. Here's a bunch of coins, right? Well, that changed over to whatever, and then changed over to paper dollar bills. Cryptocurrency is pretty much the future of exchanging money with each other or whatever, funds. It's the future, bro. It's going to happen regardless, just like everything else just happened in the past with money. You know, back in it started from bartering back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I give you 2 apples, you give me 5 bananas, you know, and then it changed from, you know, gold and all of that stuff.
Okay, so let's say 1 Bitcoin. What is that worth in American dollars? Just make up a number that's close to it, an even number.
Yeah. Well, that's impossible to do because, like, they don't explain. Have church tomorrow. Is that mom's?
Yeah. Okay. They canceled church tomorrow.
So. Oh, that's good. That's good, bro. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So basically, 1 Bitcoin. It could be anywhere from right now. I think it's like at 2,000.
No, it's at 5.
Go back to 5? Oh, yeah. It's so like it's like 5. Right now. But it can go up to, I don't know, you name it. It can be up to $1 million worth.
Yeah. It was at 17,000 in like December of 2017 or something like that.
Yeah. It went up to 20,000. That was like the highest, 21, I think.
Oh, was it 20? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know, because I invested in it when it was, you know, I could have put out like $20,000, bro, if I would have just pulled out at the height, like easily. But anyways, to get back to your point, Law, Bitcoin is the future of money. 1 Bitcoin, it doesn't matter, bro. If you want to buy Bitcoin, you can buy it. I think it goes down to 11 digits. So it's like 0.00000001. That's still a Bitcoin. If you want 1 full Bitcoin, they're just saying that that's how much 1 full Bitcoin is. That's where we're going to put at the average. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what my question is, say I invest $500 in a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that
you'll
just,
get like,
is that just kind of like how the stock market works? When I want my money, I got to sell the Bitcoin? Or is the Bitcoin going to be spent later? Like, you know, how does that work?
Well, it's not really an investment. Like people, you know, that you shouldn't invest in it as an investment. What it is, because an investment kind of like it grows like at a, you know, a good rate or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But this is volatile. It's nothing steady. It goes down, up, up, down, up, down, up, down. So they call it, I forgot what the term of it. It's not really investment. It's called something else where you're just putting in and, you know, anyways, I'm lost here. But when you, if you're going to put money into it, then it's kind of like you want to use it because you can use it. That's why people are actually buying Bitcoin in other countries. They actually use it as currency.
So what do you use? Okay. As currency. Yeah. So if you're going to buy something, you can say, I'll buy that for 2 Bitcoins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then what? You transfer Bitcoin to their Bitcoin account?
The store has to take it.
Yeah.
But like, as interacting between people, yeah, you could do whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, yeah. You buy the Bitcoin. Oh, yeah, yeah. The Bitcoin is the new dollar, and it can be spent.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Currency. Yeah, my bad.
Okay, yeah.
My bad.
Okay, that's what I was trying to understand.
The biggest thing I missed to explain to you besides just the future of money is that there are no banks involved at whatsoever. No banks. This is all from you to me. Me to the store. Or you know, it's one-on-one. It's called peer-to-peer. You know, just you straight to the other person. There's no middleman involved, no nothing.
So what raises the value of Bitcoin or decreases it? By how many people actually buy into it?
Yeah,
correct.
It increases its value?
Yep. That's all it is. It's decentralized currency. Right now we have centralized currency where the Federal Reserve and the big main banks, the what do you call it, mega banks, whatever in the world, the central banks.
Yeah, there's central banks all over the world. Ours here in the States is the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. And the central banks around the world, they control everything. Like you, if you wanted to send money to, like, say, China, it'll have to go through a central bank, blah, blah, blah. It'll take weeks, and then it'll go to somebody in China, right?
That's who's printing the money for this bailout. Because us as a government, we don't really have money, but it's the Federal Reserve that's printing this money for all these things, like injecting into the stock market and stuff. Which I understand. That's why I see why people like the cryptocurrency. Because another way is also the blockchain. That's like the technology that we're using. It's basically computers that are they create like a symbol. And then another computer verifies that symbol. Yeah. And then with that, that's how they could tell that you own that. It's hard to explain.
Well, I can explain it, you know, in my layman's terms, because I mean, I did all kinds of research on this when I got involved, because this was my first step of investing. Like, I had no knowledge of investing whatsoever. And my cousin got me involved and made me dive into Bitcoin first. Before anything, before real estate, before anything, even before financial education. That's why I had to learn about financial education, was because of Bitcoin. So anyways, Hines is right. The main thing, the backbone of the whole cryptocurrency world is the blockchain. And what the blockchain is unbreakable. Nobody can hack into it, because this is internet money. This is what this is. So hackers think that they can break this internet and take all your Bitcoin. They cannot. The blockchain is literally your computer, my computer, Hines computer, all the millions and millions of computers around the world that have Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That's the blockchain. Everything's linked. So a hacker would have to hack every single computer that's linked up to the blockchain, which is literally impossible. We say it's impossible. Some people are saying in the future it's going to be impossible. But right now, there's no way. Like, say a hacker hacks in your computer, that right? And he can, like, man, I could do this, right? I could get his code. But just imagine your computer is also hooked up to everybody's computer around the world. Now, there's no way that somebody can hack everything, you know, all these computers with all these firewalls, all these, you know, secret codes, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, that's the blockchain. And every single company in the world that is taking the blockchain method and utilizing that as a security code for their jobs. They're just taking it out of cryptocurrency and using it for like a lockdown security thing for them. In like you know, the techie world and stuff like that. But
so are they planning on eventually there being a standard worth? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Instead of it, because if it continues to fluctuate, how do you know?
Well, they have limit.
That means everything in the world values will have to change every day. You know.
Well,
that's how currency works today. Like even the U.S. dollar changes value every day. Like, it's been going down lately and it kind of went back up on Friday. It's crazy, but that's like right now that's how it works. But my fear is with all the stimulus that's coming that people will need in order to survive, Like if the U.S. government continues to just continuously print money, yep. pretty soon the U.S. dollar is not going to be worth much at all, and it's going to crash.
What's going to happen?
I feel like, I feel like at that point the world will be like, well, we're not going to use the U.S. dollar for our world reserve currency. For example, like today, I think the majority of the world, if you want to buy oil, you have to buy it in dollars.
Yeah.
Which means that whatever country you are, you got to convert your money to dollars. Yep. And then, you know, and then that's how you can buy your oil.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, like, you know, if it's two countries that aren't the U.S., it's like we've kind of convinced the whole world that, hey, you still got to use our money when you're using the, like, so that's why I feel like eventually one day the world's going to be like, man, F you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys just print money left and right. And you guys aren't going to, like I said, I always talk about the debt on Twitter. Like, our debt's $23 trillion. It's like, that number is just going to keep going up. And then it's going to be keep going up, especially in these next 2 months. Because of all the money that people need. So that's why it's like, man, injecting that money into these big banks and saving some of these big companies is like, dude, that's not the way to go. This money needs to go directly to those small businesses that you're talking about, to you guys that aren't, like, that can't go to your second job, or even people that can't even go to their first job. That's where the money needs to go, man, is like the real people. So the fact that it'll go to some of these companies, like some of these companies are just regular banks that just need money to stay solvent. And it's like, dude, F all these companies. This money needs to go directly to the people. Because in 2008, this happened to a lot of the banks, and a lot of these banks got bailed out. And then the CEOs and people and the executives of this company got millions of dollars from the U.S. government.
Dude. And said, bye.
This can't happen again. This can't happen again. But it's like, the way Trump is talking, man, he's trying to buy the election at this point, because he wants to help everybody out, but he wants to show everybody that he's buying helping every industry, helping the cruise industry, the airlines industry. He's been helping the farmers because of his tariffs. He's been helping the, like, I think steel industry. Like, dude, there's just like all these industries. Now you add the events planning industry. Now you add restaurants. Basically everything that's shut down is going to need money. How are we going to pay for this all? We're already in debt. So if we keep on printing money, the world's going to be like, you know what? We're not going to use the U.S. dollar as our world reserve currency anymore, which really will tank everything. And so that's where it's like, it's kind of crazy to think that this is where we're at right now in the world when it comes to, this, because instead of, like I said, it goes back to attacking the problem. Instead of attacking the problem, which is getting tests out, getting people better, you know, quarantining people properly, you know, I mean, what are your thoughts? Nobody likes a communist country, but I think because China was a communist country, that's the fastest we could see a recovery because of how militant they are. You know what I mean?
The fact that they have the power to just say, hey, oh, you're infected, you stay here.
Whole city. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You do that here, oh, man, uproar. They will go crazy. People will ship in out of state just to stand up for this person you're holding in there to quarantine, you know?
For real. That's what I mean. So it's like, are we really going to be able to combat this the way the Chinese have? Because it looks like they're through the hardest part so far. But here it might get more chaotic because of our freedoms.
Yeah, I think yesterday when they were dropping numbers and they had like new cases. And in that one day, their number was 15. You know, 15 new cases that were diagnosed. So they're on the downside, man.
Yeah,
they've contained it, and they just gotta, you know,
they're bouncing back.
Nurse whoever's left.
Damn.
I think I think it's just the saddest part about it is that people are just they're missing the fact that this is killing the elderly, and if they focus on that more, and they show all the elderly people, the people that are your parents, your grandparents, you know, then maybe the fucking American citizens will open their eyes more to how important this is. Because, you know, once people don't, you know, once they see it, then they'll be like, oh, shit, okay. Where's mom's at? Okay, I got to, well, how's that grandma doing? We got to take care of them, quarantine them, make sure that nobody, you know, goes near them. But everybody's freaking out about toilet paper and food on the shelves,
you know,
instead of the old people, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody's really learning what's going on. I mean, that's what really turned me on is when I paid attention to who was being affected by this, you know? And my dad just got over his pneumonia last week he got his, like 2 months, bro.
Yeah.
He's over here just hacking, coughing, and I'm like, are you going to be okay? Goes to the ER and they're like, yeah, you got pneumonia in the left lung.
Damn.
Here, we'll give you some antibiotics. Finally, he's felt better. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, this is happening. Yeah. And then I read the age range and I'm like, holy shit.
Yep.
You know, I said, if we get it, we're good. We might just get sick. But I said, different case when they get it.
And
so now I wanted to know what I had to do to prevent, you know, like, damn, what needs to be done?
That's the main thing, because I reread.
No, but
go ahead.
It's almost like you don't, I mean, you don't want anybody around them, basically. Those are like the people that you don't like. It's like, man, if you interact with people, you want, like, you don't want anybody that interacts with people around them at all, ever. Like, for the next, like, 2-3 months. For real. It's like, that's the only way until we can get, like, people that are positively tested.
Bro.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, if you knew for sure that you, Law, were, you know, that you were negative results for the coronavirus, then it'd be like, dude, you're the one that's got to go take care of mom and dad and, like, be around until more people.
Wow.
That's how important these tests are.
Usos,
right?
I'm infected. Yeah. The elder that we have in our family is Tala's mom. She stays at her sister's house right there in Auburn.
Oh, yep. So
we quarantined. We have her nephews. I mean, are her nephews, her sons, that go to school here. We told her already. Like, no, nobody's going. Nobody comes here. None of us are going there. Keep the old lady there in the house. Yeah. I was like, keep her away from everybody.
Have to for right now.
Yeah. So it's serious. It's real deal for us right now. Cause I was
My homeboy, he works in the medical field. Actually, I can say his name. It's Fapoy, DJ Boy Boy.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Cause he posted it online. But since he works in a medical field, his daughters both have asthma, so they're both at the grandparents' house, and nobody's leaving that house.
Mm. You know.
He was like, yeah, I haven't really seen them. You know, we FaceTime every day. It sucks. But, you know, I might bring that shit home one day. So until all this blows over, they got to stay over there. And I was like, damn, you know.
Yeah.
And taking it seriously, but he has to because he's in a hospital every day.
Until we get the fucking test kits that we need here. You know, that's why I was saying in the beginning of the podcast, it's fucked up that everywhere else is getting them. But where the people are dying here, we have the most deaths, like the majority of all the deaths. And we, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's some fucking bullshit.
man.
But, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, if the government's going to print money, you might as well print that money and get everybody tested first.
Yeah.
Because there's no way this economy is going to be stable if everybody's walking around not knowing who has what.
Or even Jack Ma. He said he'll send over 500 fucking thousand kits that are from China.
That's a hilarious thing. Right? It's like, man, we are now the third world country. We are now, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like you said, if all these, like, the one percenters are all the 40,000 and over, and we can't even afford testing.
I'm telling you, man.
It's like, that's why it's scary. It's scary. It's the fact that we need help from, like, the Chinese, or I don't know. I mean, one conspiracy theory I wanted to also bring up is, you know, the way the Trump acts and the way that the administration acts is, man, what if everybody – and what if the elite, what if the richest of the rich and people like Trump, what if all these people are already vaccinated? Like, they already know they can't get it because they're already vaccinated and they're good to go.
That's a good conspiracy theory. I'll believe it. Why not?
Well, look at the way some of these press conferences are. You have Ben Carson up there. What was it today? Or he's up there coughing in his hand. Like, he's doing all the things you're not supposed to do. It touching his face. You have all these guys shaking hands in front of everybody.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, you got to look at it like this. Is this
they
simple?
They don't care.
Yeah.
They know everything that's happening before it happens. Just like if you're at a job.
Yeah.
That a company decides they're closing their doors or they're selling. They've been known for months. Yeah. But leading up to the day of they mention that you guys are all losing your job, they push it like nothing's wrong. You know, they'll have a meeting. Yeah. Like, all right, guys, we're doing great. Next day you come in, we're closing doors. Everybody's getting laid off today, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing with the government. And, you know, they know what's going on. But they're not going to say anything because – they're going to protect their own interests first.
Well, that's what makes me think. It's like, man, is there a vaccine out there? Because these guys are acting so, like,
nonchalant. Like, nonchalant.
Yeah. Like, they're acting like, you know, coughing and touching their face in the fucking press conference.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So.
All right. No, I hear you, man. There's so much conspiracy theories that we can talk about, bro. I'm telling you, man.
oh yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love that one though because I kind of can't believe that because everybody's tripping off on that article you sent us. We're here in Washington State. The people that had made their own kits, the little group that made their own kits that you were talking about that they didn't get approved. They
oh you tell them tests?
They said fuck you. We're going to test these patients anyways, and they just did it anyways. Well, the same thing goes for the president. He's probably like, fuck these darn my citizens. Let me just take this vaccine, even though it's not approved, if you're saying it's good. Or
well, I hear there's a company in Germany that I think there's a company in Germany that has a potential vaccine already.
So. Oh, I'm pretty sure. They're the ones who made
you
the
kits. They sent in a SEAL team to get the first body.
Well, the Germans make a
vaccine off of their blood.
The Germans are the ones who made the kits for China.
Yeah.
They have it. They had it. They had the kits all along from the World Health Organization, and it said anybody who needs it, we have it ready. But Trump's administration said, no, we'll do our own. We'll make our own over here in Atlanta at the CDC. It's like, what a fuck.
Just wonder how Germany's doing.
Dumb fuck. But anyways, final thoughts, y'all?
Stay safe.
I just did a lot of learning on this one. I am not the one who's educated, notice.
No, well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're learning every day, man. Everything. I feel like I'm always learning every day. Just from, like, stuff like podcasts, this, YouTube. But, yeah, man, everybody stay safe.
You stay safe. Hopefully we can probably do some more of these to keep everybody updated and informed on the real fucking news. Ground Zero. I'm DJ Han, Henry Willie, over here, Ground Zero, you know, infected with the fucking coronavirus.
I know. Yeah. We got our in-house zombie here.
And, yeah, man, I'm the test monkey. Man. I'll be you guys' test monkey. Any questions you guys want? My balls are still okay.
Now is it true it makes your balls sweat?
My polos is a little purple on the right side. The left side is okay, but... I'm still getting some tonight. Oh, it's time to quarantine and chill, y'all.
That's the name of the show, man.
There you go. Quarantine and chill. That's what we're going to call it.
Quarantine and chill, yeah.
And, yeah, man. We'll do it again, man. Fucking everybody fucking start doing keto because we're going to all need to be healthy. To fight this shit off. All right, man.
Hell yeah.
That's all I got to say, man.
All right, guys. All right, guys.
Good talking to you guys. Peace out. We'll do it again. Once again, the Poly Podcasters. Tofa Soifua.